Thanks, Parker. Like Parker said, my name's Neil. I guess serve on staff here at Watermark. And a lot of you just candidly don't really know me. And so that classic thing that a guy does when he speaks to people he doesn't know, I'm going to tell you some of my worst moments as a human being. So like you, I once was in high school or middle school. And fellas, I know that moment when you when that girl that you like in your class, like it's like she posts a picture and you're in it and she's like, English class is the best. And you're like, bingo, green light, I'm going to go for it. And so we had our homecoming dance, the first dance I had ever had the opportunity to go to. And Autumn, she posts this picture and I'm like, man, I'm gonna make my move. I'm going to control my destiny. I'm going for it. And I make this banner, it says homecoming question mark. And so she picks it up in English class one day and it rolls out like a majestic scroll of my declaration of my affections. And she finds me behind it like this. And she's like, sure. And I'm like, that sounds like a yes to me. And so I'm on top of the world. I'm telling my friends, I'm bragging, I'm the man. And then finally, one day at lunch, my friends look at me and they go, Neil, bro, I'm so sorry I heard about what happened with Autumn. And I'm like, what's up? And they said, yeah, I heard she's going with Tyne now to the dance. And I was like, I didn't hear that. And so what any manly man would do to fix that situation, I ran to the office to call my mom to pick me up, right? And on my way there, I'm running and I'm stopped in my tracks by her. And I have my head down because there's some tears flowing. And she's like, Neil. And I said, no. You've done enough. And then I ran and I called my mom. And I wish the story ended there because I didn't get to choose if I was going to struggle in that moment. But I chose how to respond and it was poorly. I still went to the dance. I went with my friends. They all had dates except me. And I'm standing there like, yeah, I can take your picture too. Yeah, give me your phone. Okay, yeah, I've got you guys too. My friend Zane was like, Neil, you should take a couple photo too. And I'm like, Zane, why? He goes, put your arm out like this and we're gonna tag her on Facebook underneath. And I was like, Zane, that is messed up. I'm in. And I did that. And the repercussions of that were not great. My mom was not happy. And I had to ask for forgiveness, and it was a really bad situation, and so on and so forth. And you're like, okay, where's the turnaround? I'm like, it doesn't. It was a really hard story. But here's the thing, and why I tell you that story, is that oftentimes we do not get to choose if we struggle in our life. We don't. But we 100% of the time get to choose how we struggle. We don't get to choose if we struggle, but we get to choose how we struggle and really how we deal with those struggles. Maybe it's that relationship in your life that you know needs to end. It's that guy, it's that girl that you know is not a good thing and others are telling you, but it's like they make you feel loved. They make you feel accepted. Maybe it's that thing on your screen that you go to when nobody else is around and it just controls you. Or maybe even it's those thoughts that circulate in your head and tell you you're just not enough. You'll never be enough. Nobody wants you around. You should just give up. And whatever it is, we all struggle. We all struggle. And maybe you came to this breakout because you see the struggle is real and you're like, that's just say Aaron's life, Autumn's life, Neil's life. That should just say my life because I know that my life is just hard. Or maybe you have a friend in your small group at school and you're like, I just don't know how to help and I want to be able to help. And you came here for that reason, that there is a sin, there is something that is broken that needs to be fixed, that needs a solution. And regardless of where our struggles come from, they can control us. They make us feel lonely. They make us feel unloved. They make us feel second best, confused, unlovable, and just downright angry. In John 16:33, this is Jesus speaking, says, I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. The question is not if we struggle. The question is how we struggle. And we rarely get to choose our situation, but we can choose how to respond. And if you hear me say nothing else this entire time, I want you to know that change is possible. And we're going to walk through how to walk away from our struggles and to leave our sin there and to leave its power over us and to walk toward the Creator that loves us and cares for us. And we're going to talk through three things. So if you tune me out for the rest of the talk, here are some topics for you to go and look up later. It says that we, to address our struggles, are to admit your need. You are to confess your part, and then you get to take the next step. So what does it look like to admit your need? Admitting your need starts with acknowledging that something is wrong, that something is not right in your life. And you're like, man, I get that. I think it's pretty easy for other people to see, but it's like, no, it's you admitting I cannot fix it and I need help. You can't fix your problems. You can't fix your own brokenness. Romans 7, 18 says, for I know, Apostle Paul, a man that wrote a lot of the New Testament, like the things that we go to say, how do I walk through this? The guy that wrote the book through the Holy Spirit says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh and the things that I want to do and my sin. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. And I want to challenge you before we roll into the rest of this talk. You have a piece of paper, you have something to write with, you have maybe even just the booklet, like whatever it is. I want you to write something down right now. When I said struggle, when I said that thing, when I said whatever it was, I would bet something popped into most of your minds. And I want you to write that down right now. And as we look through the rest of this talk, I want you to hear what God's word has to say about that thing and how we're going to move forward on that thing. You got it? So write that down. As you do, I want you to know that like you're like, I don't love feeling this way. I don't love being like these bad feelings I have whenever I think about the things I do wrong. Like, take heart, because conviction, like feeling like something is not right when you go your own way, is actually a really great gift from God, because it shows you that your sin is not the right way or the thing that you're looking for. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like, our sin, it's not that thing. It's not the screen. It's not the person. It's not the place that we go to. It's that we're looking for love. We're looking for people to tell us that we truly are cared for, that we have value, that we have worth, that we have an identity in something, that somebody cares. For you guys over there, it says all these words. There you go. Great. You see it? Okay, great. And that somebody really approves of us, that I'm okay. That's what our sin really is. And conviction is a great gift, because it says that's not the end of the story. There's another way. There's a good God who loves you, and his way really is best. And it might feel really good for a second to push that, be like, I'm just going to ignore that. Like, it's not a big deal, but it always leads to pain. And I know that's true in my own life. Let me just give you a little bit more, like post middle school, high school, Neil, what happened and like what put me where I was. So it's like, I was born in a Christian family. My dad was a pastor. Mom was a stay-at-home mom. Youngest of three kids, little brother syndrome to the max. Like, I wanted to be seen. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And because of my loving family, I came to know the gospel. So the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus at a really young age. And that was something that I came to not because I saw my need, but because I was like, why would I not? Everybody else does. You guys approve? I should do that? Okay, I'm going to do it. And I saw the world as a Christian, as a perfect life. You do good, you get good. You go this way, then everything's going to go your way. And that kind of came crashing down when I was in sixth grade. My dad, who was diagnosed with a disease that he got from a hospital, unexpectedly passed away. And my perfect world came crashing down. And the following 2 years, from sixth to eighth grade, my dad would die, my grandfather, my grandmother, my other grandfather. Then they repossessed our house. Then they repossessed our car. And we lost everything. And at that point, you think it would be pretty easy for me to say, like, I'm in need, like, help. But I didn't, because I just managed my pain. I would look on the outside and be that perfect Christian kid. I was in Awanas, where you would literally get jewels on your crown. Leaders, if you grew up in the Baptist church, you know what I'm talking about. I would go to RAs, which was Boy Scouts for the church. I was on youth group student council. I did all the things. And managing my sin came easy to me. On the deep down, like, I would go and find my affirmation in a screen. I would go and I would find my affirmation in any male authority that would give me the time of day, because I just missed my dad and I felt like I was unlovable. And the same time, suicidal thoughts reigned in my mind. They reigned in my mind where I felt like nobody wanted me there. But because I was scared of how people would think of me after I was gone, I didn't go through with it. And so my response was sin management, not confession, not admitting that I needed help. It was saying, what can I bring to the table to just shove my sin down? And I went radically correct to the other side, for like really lost, hurting kid in middle school to in high school. I became a self-righteous jerk in the name of Jesus. I did all the right things so that I would be better than you, not so that I could be close to God. And that would go all the way through high school and college where I would just like do all these really holy things for all the wrong reasons, just looking for approval. And it came to a tipping point when I moved to Dallas in 2018. I got to do the residency at Watermark, which is just a program to be equipped in Shoreline in 2018. And so I think like if you're a senior in this room, I think it was when you were freshman that I did that. And my boss was a guy named Jermaine Harrison, which I'm sure high schoolers know who he is. And then David Penuel were my two bosses. And they loved me enough to whenever I would be like, okay, this is sin. I would say, okay, sin, don't do that. Okay, I'm going to change. I'm gonna stop. But I'm still looking back like I still want to be loved. They would be like, hey, you're course correcting. I'd be like, no, but I'm not doing that thing you just told me not to. And like, you're course correcting. And what I've come to learn is that in that moment, I came to this just tipping point of realizing that not just that I had problems, but that I was the problem. I never had a hard time saying my life is hard, but it felt defeating to say it's hard because of me. And I have a part to play. And what I've learned is that we often blame our sin, our struggles, our hardship, the things that we walk through in our life on other people or other things, on our parents, on my family doesn't have money. I don't have the things that they have. I have this part of my story that is just very different where somebody has hurt me and therefore, why would I not act this way? And hear me say, if you've been abused, if there is something that somebody has hurt you, I am not saying that that is your fault. Please do not hear me say that. But I am telling you that that does not have to own you. That does not mark who you are. And there's a God that loves you and wants to walk forward with you through that pain that you're always going to have to deal with. But you get to walk with God's people and with the God that made you and sees you as loved, as forgiven, as holy. And remember, like, we don't get to choose that broken part of our story. We don't. It's not up to us. You're not God, and you never will be. But you get to choose how you respond. And that's what I'm really just begging you to do today, is that we can choose to respond well to our struggle. That the first step of admitting that you're struggling is admitting that you're struggling. You're like, cool. Great observation. It's like, I don't think it's hard for us to admit that the world is broken. Like, I don't think people in this room would say, like, no, the world's pretty great. People are great. Everything's good. People are kind. They get along. It's good. But I think it's pretty much defeating, and it's hard to say that my world is broken. To say that something, the things that have happened to me, the things that I have done are affecting me deeply, and I don't know what to do. That feels defeating, but that actually is the first step to healing, is to say that I need help. And admitting that you have need is not simply acknowledging like, okay, I've got sin in my life. It's there. Let's move on. No, but it's acknowledging that it's there and you're like, I don't know how to get rid of it. I need help. Because here's the thing, acknowledgement, saying it's there, that's surface level. Confession, which is followed by repentance and walking a different direction, that's personal. And that applies to you. When I simply acknowledge my brokenness, I'm just pointing out things that everybody knows to be true. But when I confess my brokenness, I'm saying I need help and I have a part to play and I want to move forward. Like think of it this way, like confession is like you get to confess your part. That's our next point, confess your part. I worked, has anybody ever been to Pine Cove in this room? Let me hear it. Yeah, a little woo. Okay, great, yeah, woo. There you go. I worked at Pine Cove. I was a senior counselor for two of my four summers there, which like I was like the principal is the way we would describe it to the kids. I worked with first through fifth grade. Like I would walk into the cabin and I'd be like, what's up? I'm Juke. I'm going to be your senior counselor this week. If you get out of line, you're going to talk to me. Hey, Snuffs, he's here to have a good time. Look at me. Hey, hands out of your lap. Look at me. You don't want to talk to me. Unless you want to have fun. We're going to have a fun time this week, guys. And like there would be this kid that'd come to me. He's crying. He's like, he pushed me and he's so mean. And I would be like, hey, let's take a knee, bud. Tell me what, hey, eyes right here. Hey, man, tell me what, eyes right here. Hey, tell me what happened. He'd be like, well, he pushed me. I was like, can you think of any reason why he would have pushed you? He'd be like, well, he's mean. I was like, okay, sure. He might have been mean to you. The pushing's not nice. Why do you think he pushed you? Well, I punched him in the face and called him a fart face. And then he pushed me and he put something. I was like, do you not see? And they're like, he's mean. And it's like, we look at that situation and we're like, oh, kids, they do the darndest things. We just do that, but we say it with better words and we don't own our part. It's really easy. Like we said, this is a cycle that happens. We're like, of course, I'm going to like go that, I'm going to be mean to you because did you see what she tweeted last night? Nobody tweets in here. I'm sorry. Did you see that TikTok she made of me last night in dance? It was directly calling me a loser. I know it's like, I like shouldn't go and look for approval, but like, did you know my dad's not there? My dad died? Like, you'd understand if you knew that. And we have a hard time confessing our part, that confession is not only so that you can be forgiven of your sin, it's so you can walk forward. Listen to James 5:16. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. This is two other people that you may be healed. The earnest or honest or wholehearted prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Confession is twofold. We have the opportunity to confess to God for forgiveness, to say, I believe that you are who you say you are, that you paid for my sin and it does not own me. I'm forgiven and will be with you in heaven one day. But if we stop there, you are not God and you will go back to your sin and you will forget your God. The James 5:16 tells us that we can confess so that we may be healed. We confess for healing, that we have the opportunity to walk with community, with people that know everything about us, the good and the bad. And the cool thing about community is that it gives us people to walk with truly toward change. That the power, it's not just about you and your power. There's another person that wants to walk and point you that direction. You have to be intentional, though, as the people you ask to walk with you. If you go to like your friend who went with you to that thing last night that you know shouldn't have happened, you're probably just gonna go back. Like, think of it this way. Like, if my wife were to look at me and say, like, Neil, you've gained some weight. You have. And I'm like, I think it's because you go to McDonald's every single day for breakfast. I'm like, I'm McLovin' it. And you're like, okay, God, I declare McDonald's the pit of Sheol. I'm done. I'm not going to McDonald's anymore. I'm getting a breakthrough to McDonald's. I'm out of here. I'm never going back. Today, I move forward. I'm like, okay, confess. I don't want McDonald's anymore. And then the next day, I'm talking to my friend. He's at work, but I'm like, I got to talk to you. And he's like, okay. I'm like, I'm done with McDonald's, dude. I'm moving forward. Today's a new day. This is a new Neil, baby. McDonald's, not part of my story. And he looks at me and he's like, sir, this is a Wendy's. And I'm like, oh, I'll take a number 5. I just changed that one little thing about my struggle, but I didn't change my heart. And if you don't bring people into your life that truly will move you away from the thing that brought you to this room for you or another person, you're just gonna go back. You're just gonna go back. And I want you to write down right now, who is a person that I'm going to own my part to? Who can you confess to? If you're here this weekend, you are with a small group, whether it's one that you go to week in and week out, or if it's people that you've just been assigned to for this weekend, I want you to write down, maybe it's your small group leader that you're like, I'm not saying figure out, go to them like, I'm doing this thing wrong, I need to do this, and I know how to fix it. Go to them and say, help. I'm in need, and I have a part to play. And let them walk with you, and just take that next step. Make the decision that you're going to get well, that you're going to move toward getting well today. And once you do that, it allows you to take the next step. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal or hide their sins will not prosper, but if they confess, listen, and turn from them, they will receive mercy. We must pair our confession with repentance. So think of it this way. Repentance, it's a big word. It means, boiled down, it's a change in heart that leads to a change in action. Okay, so like I'm walking this direction. My heart is fixed on my sin. And it's saying, I'm going to go 180 degrees and I'm going to walk and my heart is going to be focused on God and my actions are going to follow suit. But here's the thing that we often do with our struggle is we confess, but we don't repent. Confession without repentance is just an announcement. Just saying, hey, this thing's hard. I don't want to do it anymore. And it's like, I'm going to confess and I'm going to like change that thing. And I'm going to start walking, but I'm not going to repent. And your heart is always going to lead your actions in the end. In reality, like we have the opportunity as a Christian to not only confess, but to repent and to walk in a different way, to own our part, to bring other people in and to move forward toward healing. And as a Christian, one of the greatest gifts that God has given you is the ability to say that I'm unable. I'm not okay. I don't know what to do. I'm not perfect, but it's also saying that the holy God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, promises that if we believe in what his son has done, that he sent his son to live a life that we could not live in perfection and to die on a cross that we deserve, that when he rose from the grave, he left your sin there. That night that you're thinking about, that thing that you looked at before you came to D-Town, that place that you go when your parents ask you where you went and you tell them something else, he left it there. So that, not so that you can just shove it down and not feel bad, but so you can walk with him. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, God, fully God, to walk with us and help guide our actions. And so if you don't know Jesus, don't hear me say that being a Christian is about doing a bunch of really good things and not doing as many bad things. That's not it. But being a Christian is saying, I on my own lead to death, but I get to walk with the creator of heaven and earth, and I have a relationship with God, and I get to walk in my life knowing that, like, remember, like, sin, like, we're looking for love, acceptance, approval. Like, when we truly walk in relationship with God, like, it's the same things, but at their full form, that we know that we're loved, that's not going to run out based on us. We have value that's not determined by our actions. We have worth that is said by the creator of the heaven and earth. We have identity that is found in Christ, and we have approval that is not determined by us. And look right at me, like the best thing about knowing Jesus is not missing hell and making heaven. It's knowing Jesus and saying, I get to walk forward with a God who loves me. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It's an invitation into relationship. Being a Christian is not like acting like you do not struggle, but it's having the freedom to freely admit that you do struggle and knowing that you don't have to do it alone, that there's a God that wants to walk with you and he has people in your life that are his people that want to walk with you. It's having the freedom to admit that it's not going to happen overnight. Friends, if you came to this breakout to find a quick fix, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. And that's okay. It's having the faith to act. If you didn't get it, admit, confess. We have the opportunity to take the next step, even when we don't see the solution, even when we don't see change, we get to act. Maybe today you just need to admit, I need to step forward. I can't do it. Or you have people in your life that are aware of the things you're struggling with, but you're like, I'm not being fully honest. I need to confess more. I need to, like, looking at your small group leader after this and saying, can we talk during lunch? That might be your next step. Or maybe they're aware of it and you're like, but I feel like I'm just taking out the bad stuff and I'm not replacing it with walking with Jesus. How can I take the next step? How do I move forward in a way that's going to lead to change? I want you to commit to that. I want you to commit to taking that next step today. And remember, you don't get to choose the broken situations that you're going to face in life, but you get to choose how you respond. I wish I would have chosen to trust God with the next step. With my thoughts of suicide in middle school that permeated all the way through high school, I just wasted time. I really did. And I ended up doing regeneration at Watermark, and I was able to see healing from that, but there was so much time that I could have been walking in confidence, knowing that I'm loved and valued and have identity with a creator that was there the whole time saying, come to me. Not once you're cleaned up, not once you figure it out, but just come to me. With all your mess, all your pain, all your shame, come to me. And God is so kind as to not give you the desires of your heart until you're fully surrendered to him, friends. And I want to challenge you to not only surrender your eternity, but to surrender your life to him. Because here's the thing, if you do holy things, like you do all these churchy things, but you're not actually giving him your heart, you're going to just run in circles and be like, why is it not changing? I'm doing all the things. And you have this fake repentance that happens where you're like, that means Jesus must not love me. And in reality, that's saying, no, you just want to course correct. And that's not the way to healing. That there's a God that loves you and wants to be with you. And change is possible. Change is possible, even when it feels broken. From one guy that still needs help, and I'm thankful for the people in my life that I can confess my sin to and take the next step with. Let me tell you that change is possible. And something that might be a way for you to experience change is we have this ministry Parker talked about called Regen for Students. And it wants to help you walk through the steps toward healing. It wants to help you walk through the steps toward healing. And if you have questions about that ministry and you're like, hey, maybe that's something I want to go through, talk to your small group leader after this and say, can you help me figure out where to go and when to go there and when the next session happens? And take that next step today. So you're going to go to lunch next, but until then, I'm going to pray for you. And I think I just lost all the sixth grade boys. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to go to the next thing. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your son. We thank you that we have the opportunity in Jesus to move forward, to take that next step, to take that thing in our life and say, you don't own me, and to move forward. God, I'm thankful for Mackenzie and for people like her and Parker and Sierra and Matt and Will and Allie and just all the people in my life that I can go to and say I'm not well. And just because I'm a pastor, that doesn't mean I struggle less. That God, I struggle all the same, and I'm thankful that I don't have to be some perfect person and I get to walk with you. God, I pray that you would help us to trust you in everything and to walk with you all the rest of the days of our lives. God, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.